Blog Talk Radio.
The long wait is over. The campaigning is winding down. The door knocking, phone calling, postcard campaigning, and rally cries are nearing an end. The November 6th general election for the United States of America is at our doorsteps. President Obama or Governor Romney. U.S. Senate seats and congressional representatives, state, county, and local officials, ballot questions, all up for grabs in the November 6th election. You are in the driver's seat. Your vote will make a difference. This is Carol Copeland-Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, my friends. Welcome to the show. This is Carol Copeland-Thomas, and I am delighted to broadcast today from the Apple Store here in Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts. I'm actually here because when I dashed out the house this morning with my laptop and all the adapters and my iPhone, I forgot my power plug. And I have an older laptop that will only last a little while, so I had to come to the Apple Store, and they very nicely plugged me up, and we're ready to rock and roll. So I do thank those here at the Apple Store. The store was crowded about an hour ago, and it's thinned out, but it'll certainly people will come here. It's really multi-generational. People are taking lessons and buying products. So, again, thank you so much. I've been a Mac user and Apple user since the 80s, so do appreciate them coming through for me today. I am also excited because we had a wonderful, wonderful conference last week. The 6th Multicultural Conference was held at the University of Massachusetts. In the Alumni Lounge, we had a delightful group, a really nice, strong but intimate group where people had a chance to network. I've gotten several phone calls on two occasions for two reasons. Number one, the fact that people love the size of the group. And I was concerned about our numbers, but they were not concerned. They thought the numbers, one person said it was perfect. So I love to hear that kind of comment. And secondly, we had very strong speakers. The content was just superb on all types of dimensions of diversity, inclusion, multicultural issues, travel and tourism, the business component, government, cultural issues, values. It was just amazing. We had a young man from the Middlesex Community College representing the school. He was one of our student speakers, originally from Uganda. And he was an award-winning journalist in Uganda before winning a green card visa to come to the United States. And he's now living here. So he told his story in his roundtable discussion. We had Michelle Shell, who is the chair of the board for the Massachusetts Convention Center Authority, the first African-American, male or female, to hold that position, talking about the importance of diversity and multiculturalism in the travel and tourism industry. That is actually the third largest industry in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. So she delivered a dynamic message. We had diversity councils discussed by Lou Karabatsis, who is the vice president of philanthropy for Monster Worldwide. And then a rather detailed but very important explanation about inclusion and how that really shapes the framework of our discussions by Sandra Casey Buford at MassSport. Georgiana Melendez also was our distinguished panel member, and she actually is the executive director of the Commonwealth Compact and co-chaired, co-hosted our conference last week. And Keith Motley, what can I say about Keith? He brought the house down early in the morning. He's the chancellor, Dr. Keith Motley, chancellor of the University of Massachusetts Boston campus, and he always brings us warm greetings early in the morning, playfully with our MC, Laura Smith, who is the assistant to the president at Middlesex Community College and founder of the Laura Smith Fund. We had fun really early in the morning and then got right down to business. So we had a dynamic time. We'll have pictures at our website, msfconnect.com, in the coming days ahead, and also some of the insights and excerpts from various speeches. They will be part of the members-only part of the website at msfconnect.com. So that's going to be command central for all things multicultural at that particular website. But I'm very excited, and I thank everyone who participated, all of our speakers, our volunteers. The food from Chef Lee was absolutely delightful. And certainly our sponsors, the Commonwealth Compact, UMass Boston, Amtrak, and Monster Worldwide, and all of our in-kind sponsors and those who participated in any way, thank you so very much. Had a great time. We'll talk more about it in the weeks to come. We're also excited because our cruise is, people are signing up for our cruise. It's taking place in April. We would love for you to be a part of it. Again, you can go to msfconnect.com to find out about our cruise, where we go to San Juan, Puerto Rico, St. Martin's, and St. Kitts. Delightful 8 days, 7 nights on the Reflections ship. That's a new ship that is launching. Celebrity Series is launching that later this year, actually in December. It's going to be launched. It's going to be a brand new ship. We're going to have so much fun. You need to be there. And Dr. Ada McKenzie is going to give us great informational sessions on the ship about the various Caribbean islands. So you want to be there, go and find out more information at www.msfconnect.com and click on the cruise section. You'll find all the information there. Now, what I'd like to do is to spend the rest of my time with you between now and 1:30 Eastern talking about 10 tips for smart voting. Now, you have to almost be someone living under a rock to not know that there is a very important election on Tuesday here in Massachusetts and all over the country, where we're going to elect our next president or reelect our president, along with senators, congressional representatives, all of the 436 representatives of Congress, 435 representatives of Congress are up for reelection. They will all be on the ballot based on whatever state or territory that they are representing. And then various state, county, and local elections are also being held, and ballot questions are being held. Number one is know whether your state has a state ID law. This has been a real bone of contention for people around the United States. I quite frankly think it is racist, and I think it is a new form of poll taxes in the United States and a way for many of the far-right conservative wing of the Republican Party to suppress the vote. And as a result of that, it's gone all the way up to various high levels of our court systems in this country, who have stated in some instances, like Pennsylvania, that the voter ID law is pretty much going to be suspended for next week's election. They just didn't have enough time to put it in place. Now, that is Pennsylvania. So, in other words, if you are hearing this show and you're voting next week, or you know someone that you can call, Pennsylvania's voter ID law has been suspended until after the election. That is also the case in Ohio. It is the case in other states, but you'll have to specifically look at the state in question to see if there is an active voter ID law, which means you'd have to bring a form of identification with your picture on it and an expiration date. And if you are an older person and you don't drive, that can be a problem, particularly now if you're just now trying to get that ID in place. So best place to go is to call or go to the website of your Secretary of State's office. If you're in Arkansas, Oklahoma, California, Michigan, whatever, go to the Secretary of State's office and find out if your state has a voter ID law. The information will be there. Now, I know for a fact the Commonwealth of Massachusetts does not have a voter ID law. So you can roll up into your polling place, Just, you know, with yourself, if you're on the list and you can prove who you are, you can vote. You do not have to have a photo ID with an expiration date on that valid state-issued ID. So make sure you know the ID laws. Forget all these billboards that are up there trying to confuse people and scare people into not voting. You have a right to vote. It is what you should do as an American citizen. I am a fanatic about voting, and I encourage each and every person who is a registered voter to vote and make sure you are very clear on your ID laws. But if you are in Massachusetts, you do not have a voter ID law. Number two is to study the ballot questions within your states. Now, they all vary. It depends on what state you're in. But in many of the states, there are ballot questions that you need to study before you vote. Now, I'm actually going to study mine because I plan on doing an absentee ballot today because I plan on actively campaigning on Tuesday. No surprise, I am a Barack Obama supporter and an Elizabeth Warren supporter in terms of my U.S. senator. So I will be supporting those candidates on Tuesday, probably in New Hampshire. So I'm not going to be around. I'm going to vote early from an absentee ballot perspective. But I need to study the ballot questions before I vote. There are three ballot questions in Massachusetts. There are only three on the ballot. I've seen some signs that have vote yes on question four and five. Well, there are only three ballot questions. So, again, if you're listening, a lot of confusion out there. There are only three. In our state, we're talking about the right for auto repair shops to provide service. That's one of the ballot questions. The other is euthanasia question, where people have the right to die, assisted suicide. And the third one is medical marijuana use. You can go to, if you're in Massachusetts, you can go to the mass.gov, mass.gov, and find out and learn and study those ballot questions and the pros and cons about that. So whatever your particular state is, go to your Secretary of State's office, and the ballot questions will be there. I want to back up and give you a website for the voter ID question. And you can go to www.thisismyvote.org. www.thisismyvote.org. This is a project of the NAACP, and you can go to that site and find out the acceptable forms of ID that are required for your particular state. Now, you can also go to my website, Tell Carol. All these websites I'm going to give you are on my website, Tell Carol, TellCarole.com. And you can go to the blog section, Carol's blog, and in that entry for today, I have listed several websites related to national organizations and the Commonwealth of Massachusetts and our presidential candidates who are running for office. You can go to tellcarol.com, and that's TellCarole.com. Go to the blog section and find out about the various websites that will direct you where you need to go for various voting issues and topics, and obviously ballot questions too. So you're getting back to the ballot questions. Go to your state website, whatever state you belong to, wherever you live, and you can study the ballot questions there. We don't talk about ballot questions that much, but they're important because, gosh, they make up the law that we ultimately have to adhere to. Number three is I have, again, websites to your rescue. I will, again, point you to my blog. This is the third tip. I will point you to my blog where you have a whole list of websites that you can peruse, study, go to, and give you a lot more information. One of them that I particularly like is the Brennan Center, which is part of, I believe it's New York University, the Brennan Center for Justice. That's www.brennancenter.org, brennancenter.org. Lots of great information there, particularly about this voter ID topic. and you can govern yourselves accordingly. Another one, the League of Women Voters. This is nonpartisan, non-profit organization that, again, will give very good voter information. That's LWV.org. And if you are in Massachusetts, I would encourage you to go to massvote.org. And again, the ballot question information will be there about the ballot questions, the various political candidates, et cetera. So lots of good news and good information. Go to my website, go to the blog, and you can study accordingly. Number four, we have been hit in this region with one of the most deadly, devastating, and damaging superstorms that the East Coast has experienced. Now it's sort of petering out in the Midwest and going elsewhere and dissipating at that point. Hurricane Sandy hit the shores on Monday and just did all kinds of damage. Death toll continues to go up. I'm just thinking about the poor folks who were in their homes waiting the storm out, and then the storm surge hit, and their houses flooded within minutes, and they could not get out, and they drowned. It just breaks my heart to think about those in New Jersey and New York where that happened. My family lives in Connecticut, and my children and my daughter and son-in-law waited out the storm. Where else do most of us wait out the storms when things like this happen? In their basement. God forbid I could have just to think about had a storm surge hit and their homes flooded and they couldn't have gotten out. That just would have been absolutely devastating. So our prayers and thoughts of concern go out to everyone who has been impacted by this horrific storm. It's going to be years of cleanup, not days. It's going to be years with that amount of work. And also, there are concerns now about those in those affected areas, like the Queens section where the 100 homes burned down. Where are they going to vote? People who are now still stuck in Hoboken, New Jersey, who maybe 10,000 people who are on the third floor of an apartment building that's flooded. The streets are, they're still trying to pump all that water out. And not only how are they going to get out of their apartment, but where are they going to vote? So these are questions that I don't have all the answers to, but it is certainly important to know of. The best thing I can say is to call your local town halls, call City Hall, and talk with your town clerk. I know they're working overtime, particularly if they're in those areas. And certainly if you're talking about Queens, New York, where those homes were devastated, they'll have temporary places set up. I'm sure they will, so that people will be able to vote. They're not going to extend voting. So voting is going to take place on Tuesday. So the best thing is to call your local office or call the police department, call the firehouse, call city government, and find out where you are going to vote, knowing that with so many people, they're just trying to get their lives together because in some cases they've lost everything. But we are, our hearts and prayers go out to all those victims, and we hope that in the midst of that, that you'll be able to go out and vote. Number five, think about getting those who have been ill, or maybe they've just gotten out of the hospital, like a good friend of mine who just got out of the hospital on Sunday, those who are shut in nursing homes. It may be in some states a little late to get an absentee ballot, but do your best to help someone out and get these individuals who have not been feeling well or who have been in the hospital, get them to the polls where they can vote on Tuesday. Again, my friend who just got out of the hospital, she had a mastectomy, and one of our friends, who's in the same sorority that I belong to, will be taking her to the polling booth on Tuesday. So be a great friend, be a great neighbor, be a great missionary, and help someone by getting them to the polls. Or in case of nursing homes, see what can be arranged in terms of absentee ballots. Even though this is Thursday, may be a little late for some, but it may not be late if you are an actual relative and can intervene on behalf of your loved one. Number six, don't let the misleading signage or the misleading ads fool you. Remember, there are forces and there are constituents out there loaded with a lot of money who are flat out lying. They are flat out lying. They are not telling the truth. And they are putting up billboards. They're putting ads on television, on the internet, on radio that are not true. If it sounds suspicious or if it sounds like it's just too good to be true, it probably is a lie. So again, do your homework, study the issues, study the candidates who you want to vote for. Again, I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. You make up your own mind who you're going to vote for, and don't let anyone else make up your mind for you. You do the legwork. You determine what the issues are, ballot questions included, and don't be fooled by the signage and the misleading ads that are there for that purpose, to mislead you. Number seven is redistricting may change who your state or U.S. representative is. Case in point, I kept getting mailings from a state legislative candidate, and I couldn't figure it out because I knew who my state representative was. I've been to man's office. I've left information there. So I couldn't figure out why I kept getting this information. So I picked up the phone and called my state house office and talked to a couple of people and finally was told that my district, and I knew that Congressman Barney Frank is my congressman. I know he's retiring. I know that congressional district is involved in redistricting. So I knew about that, but I didn't realize that on the state level, redistricting also impacted where I live and who represents me. So the person, Christopher Markey, who now represents me as a state legislator, as of January will no longer represent me, and thus the candidate that is vying for state representative seat competing against the Republican candidate was sending out the information. So I got it clarified. Case in point, make sure you know what representative represents you, what district you live in, and you may very well be impacted by redistricting. So check it out. Know it before you get to the polls. You'll know who to vote for. Number seven, double check your polling place. Sometimes, again, this is very much in keeping with the hurricane victims. Your polling place may change. It may have changed since the last time you voted. In the town where I live, the voting place did change because they're doing renovations on the central place where normally everybody votes. And so that changed about a year ago. So make sure you know where your voting place is. And when the election starts in the morning, does your poll open up at 7 o'clock in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning? When do the polls open? And for most importantly, when do the polls close? Do they close at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock? You don't want to show up at 7:45 and your polls close at 7 o'clock. That would be awful. So make sure you know when in your town, not just your state, but your town, when do your polls open and when do they close? Very, very important. Tip number nine is to take a friend to the polls. You may have someone who's skeptical, who says, oh, my vote doesn't count, and it doesn't matter, I'm only one person. Well, yes, your vote does count, and yes, one person's vote definitely makes a difference. And why don't you be a real civic, engaged advocate and take a friend to the polls? Somebody maybe where transportation is an issue, or they're apathetic. I can't imagine anybody being apathetic in this election, but there are people who are apathetic or they just don't feel like it matters. Convince them to come to the polls. Don't tell them who to vote for. That's up to them. But take them to the polls. Again, if everyone took a person to the polls or was responsible for that, our numbers would go up. Our numbers right now, I think, are pathetic in this country, where we have less than 50% of the people on average who vote, and it makes no sense to me. I don't know why 95% turnout is not the norm in the United States. It should be, but it could be. It could be actually getting there if you would take a friend to the polls. And number 10 is to make sure that after November 6th, that voting becomes a habit. Now, this is not a four-year habit where you vote every 4 years. This is not good enough. There are town elections, there are city elections, there are state elections, there are special elections that take place all the time. Find out what they are, when they are, and make sure you vote with every election, not just every 4 years. And this is why. In 2008, we had record numbers of people who voted, and we elected President Obama. That's a candidate who I'm supporting, and I'll vote for him again on Tuesday. And I'm very proud to vote for him, and I'll vote for Elizabeth Warren for my U.S. Senator. But for some people, they were very happy and they patted themselves on the back for voting in November of 2008. And then they haven't been seen since that point in time. Well, we had midterm elections in 2010. And during that time, a whole lot of laws were passed, including a lot of these voter ID laws. They just sort of slipped in and they were passed because the advocates and those who are taking an active role in politics, they voted and everybody else stayed home. Make sure you don't fall in that category of staying home. Make sure after Tuesday that you stay engaged, that you find out when your next elections are going to happen, and that you are there taking a friend and doing all kinds of things to be informed and aware and, most importantly, empowered, and using that level of empowerment to influence other people. But the stakes are very high. I look at the enormous damage that is taking place, that took place in the various states because of Superstorm Hurricane Sandy. Well, the decisions that will be made are going to be political decisions. The economics are going to be political decisions. It's going to be up to you and me and all of us as informed citizens to do the right thing, be informed, and to vote in every single election. It's going to be that critical. And this is going to be no small matter. This is going to be a very large national discussion in terms of climate change issues, very, very important issues. As a bonus, between now and November 6th, and even afterwards, I encourage you to wear some kind of political button. Now, the button I have on simply says, vote November 6th. I don't have a candidate on here. It's just encouraging people to vote. And let me tell you, the conversations that have been struck by those who see the button and they just want to talk about the various issues, it just brings up the conversations and the topics automatically because people see that I'm wearing this button. I'm sure that if you go to a particular nonprofit organization in your respective state, or if you go to a candidate that you are supporting and you go to their offices, they will give you lots of buttons. But wear a button and start a conversation. Wear a button and have people to interact with you. Have an opinion about your candidate, not just the sound bites and the things that you hear on television, but you form your own opinion about the respective candidate of your choice and vote accordingly and defend why you voted accordingly. That's the kind of influence and civic engagement and empowerment that we all need to be about. And next week, boy, we'll have lots more to talk about in the aftermath of the November 6th election. I'm sure it's going to be quite a lively discussion, but I hope it's going to be the kind of discussion where you can sit back and say, I voted for X, Y, and Z for this reason, and this is why this person is going to be the best candidate, and we'll see what happens with those candidates. It's going to be a very tight race in terms of presidential election. I am an Obama supporter, and I hope that he gets in handily. I think he's the best person for the job, along with the other senatorial race that I had mentioned. But most importantly, just get out there and vote and show your American pride and civic pride by doing the right thing. God bless you. Take care. All the best for those who have been affected by the hurricane, and we'll talk to you next week. Carol Copeland Thomas, have a great weekend.